June 25th, 2013. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the rainy, sultry suburbs of Chicago. We just had a real short downpour, a real noisy downpour. So I hope that it's over, at least for a little while, for a couple of hours. I really appreciate you joining me today on RBN for people who can handle the truth. RBN's website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit spingola.com. During the program, email your questions or comments to comment@spingola.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by going to spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour after we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. Our guest today is Dr. Jennifer Daniels. She is the author of Do You Have the Guts to Be Beautiful? Her website is vitalitycapsules.com. And when you go there, be certain to sign up for her newsletter. She sends out a weekly newsletter advertising her program, which is going to be tonight, or at least later this afternoon. All righty. Welcome to the program, Dr. Daniels.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Well, I got your email about your program today at 6 o'clock Eastern time, and I thought, Oh, my goodness, she's going to be a busy woman today.
Yes, I am. I am very busy.
Oh, goodness. But we really appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to join us. And you always have such wonderful things to tell us. And you're so, you educate people so well. I mean, there's so many things that you have covered. And I hope that people will take the time to visit your website, vitalitycapsules.com, sign up for the newsletter, and listen to some of the many programs that you started doing back in the fall of last year. I think people should listen to every single one of them. And it wouldn't hurt to listen to some of them twice or more.
That's right. Okay, so, well. Today's topic is a doozy.
Okay.
Today's topic is the cancer scandal. And it is bigger than I even imagined. And, you know, people in your audience, and even myself, everyone, we always look for good guys and bad guys. And in the cancer scandal, I don't think there are any good guys.
I'm afraid you're right. And given the number of people who have cancer in everyone's family, I think people should really be asking questions. Why this epidemic? And why is allopathic care so incredibly expensive?
Those are two questions, but I have a whole bunch of other questions. But we both agree, questions need to be asked. And that's the crux of the matter. If you don't ask the questions, or if you're asking the wrong questions, you are going to be mutilated, abused, violated, and robbed. So you have to ask questions. So let me go through some questions that everybody's asking. And I'll just say up front, these are questions I think that you should not be asking.
We're going to a break in 20 seconds, but that's the problem, is that patients never ask questions. They just go along with what their doctor says, and so you're suggesting that everybody ask questions. And we'll pick this up on the other side of the 3-minute break. Be right back.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract! A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept! That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid three times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Dr. Jennifer Daniels. She is the author of Do You Have the Guts to Be Beautiful? Her website is vitalitycapsules.com. Okay, let's get to those questions.
Right, and that this is just so, so important. These are questions you should absolutely not ask. One question is, do cancer therapies such as chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery really work? That's not a good question. Very bad question. Next question that people ask, they should not be asking, is, are alternative methods superior to standard of care, chemo, radiation, and surgery? Another bad question. The next question to ask is, which therapy is right for me? None of these questions will yield productive answers. You're going to keep it going in circles and circles and circles, and round and round and round, and that's why everyone's so confused and upset and distraught. But if you're asking these questions, your health is in serious danger because you have already been deceived and you don't know it. How's that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay. So, the question you have to ask, these are good questions, are you trying to correct a condition that would shorten your life? Or are you looking for a treatment that will give you immortality? This is very important. You got to sort this out. So, if you're trying to correct a condition that would shorten your life, that means you are willing to live to the life expectancy in the United States, 79 years old, you are willing to live till 79 and drop dead, or you're willing to accept any years beyond that if that should be your fate. Okay? That's the first question. So if you're trying to correct a condition that would shorten your life, that means you're not interested in any therapy that promises you to live more than 79 years of age. Now, if you want a treatment that's going to make you live beyond the age of 79, what you're really looking for is life extension or immortality. In which case, the diagnosis that you have, whatever it might be, is really irrelevant because all you're looking for is the fountain of youth and the immortality magic pill. I'm not saying you shouldn't be looking for that, but I'm saying you should get it clear in your mind what it is you're looking for. So this is an important distinction because if you're trying to correct a condition that would shorten your life compared to the average life expectancy in the United States, then you have to first establish that you have a condition that will shorten your life. And so most people skip that step. They skip that question, and they go on to the other question we mentioned.
Okay.
So if the condition you have is not going to shorten your life, then no therapy is needed, right?
Right.
Yeah. On the other hand, if you're trying to live forever, then there's no diagnosis necessary because you're trying to cure the human condition. Just accept any therapy that's going to increase life expectancy, or like the elixir that Ponce de Leon was searching for. I mean, you're engaged in delaying, aging, life extension, or immortality seeking. That's a whole other kettle of fish. It has nothing to do with cancer. You can look for immortality at whatever, you know, imperfect health, and just look for immortality. So if you're looking for immortality, then whether or not you have a diagnosis of cancer is irrelevant. And accepting therapy for cancer is also irrelevant because you're looking for immortality. You're not looking for the short-term cure stuff. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
All right.
And this is relevant to the topic that you discussed the last time you were on the program when you were talking about prostate cancer. And,
yeah, that's in the mix today, but we're going to give it a lot less time.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but basic information. So in order to get your bearings here, you need some navigation, okay? So life expectancy in the United States is 78.6 years. I've generously elevated to 79 years, just for the sake of this discussion. Also, there are 309 million people in the United States, and every year 2.5 million die of something. That's a death rate of 0.8% a year. This is across all age, you know, birth to death, whatever. We just average it all in to one loop of mediocrity. And so what is the best treatment versus is any treatment necessary at all? So instead of asking what's the best treatment for my condition, the other question is any treatment necessary at all? Do I have a condition that's going to shorten my life? Is the condition, left untreated, going to shorten your lifespan? If not, then how could treatment of any kind be a benefit if you're going to live the same length of time or longer without treatment? And that's the question cancer patients fail to ask. They fail to ask the question, what condition do I have, and is the condition I have going to shorten my life? And because they skip that question, a lot of very bad things happen.
Well, I have a book on my desk that I pulled off the shelf during the break. And the name of the book is Should I Be Tested for Cancer? And it was written by H. Gilbert Welch, M.D.
Yes. That is the question. That's a very good question to ask. That's a place to start. I think that's an excellent question to ask. Should you be tested for cancer? And I'm going to give you information today. It's going to help you figure that out. And the information is actually without even really looking at the cancer test. Because there's so much room for lying and fudging and da-da-da-da-da-da-da that we're just going to cut to the chase. How many folks out there are living with this cancer every year? How many people out there are dropping dead from this cancer every year? And that gives you a gross or crude death rate from the cancer. And you can take a look at that and say, hey, wait, if my death rate per year from this cancer is less than my death rate from walking outside, then why don't I embrace the cancer and go have a good time?
Right.
And even if your death rate from the cancer is higher than your death rate from just existing, you can answer the question, and assume you're right to answer the question any way you want, as to how much over the baseline death risk are you willing to accept before it's worth your while to be inconvenienced by therapy of any kind. That's another question to ask. And so these are questions people don't ask. And because they don't ask, they leap into the assumption that the next step is necessary, and the next step being chemo, radiation, surgery, or juice fasting, going to a retreat for a month, alienating everyone they know because they're eating raw and everyone else is eating cooked food, you know, whatever. So there's a whole step here, actually a few steps in the decision-making process that have been eliminated when you ask the question, which therapy is best for me? You haven't asked the question, do I need therapy at all? you haven't asked yourself, what is it I stand to lose here? And so what we're going to do is going to go over the more frequent cancers, which is colon, lung, prostate, and breast, and take a look at, okay, what have you got to lose here? How much higher is your death risk due to this diagnosis? And the numbers I'm using are numbers from the industry itself. In other words, these come from a .gov site or a .cancer site or the sites that are telling you to get screening. So I haven't even looked at the sites who express any skepticism whatever.
Okay.
This is just a number from the faithful party line people. Establishment sources, unimpeachable. And if there is a bias in these numbers, it's in favor of cancer diagnosis and cancer therapy because these numbers came from those guys. All right.
Okay.
So the baseline death rate in the United States, first of all, we're going to assume everyone's going to die of something. So I'm taking the tack that people listening to this show are trying to achieve a full life expectancy. So I'm not addressing the population that's seeking immortality. So the folks who want to live to be 503, this is not really talking to them.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't think anybody would want to live that long.
I don't know, but I'm just telling you, get it straight what I'm talking about. Because if you're not straight on it, people can kind of waffle back and forth in their mind from one camp to another. So no, we're just talking about, what I'm talking about is if you want to live to age 79, which is what an American can expect, then what are you going to do? So any promise beyond age 79 that's being made, whether it's in the guise or disguised as cancer therapy, is just a ticket to immortality and eternal life. And I suggest you consult your priest, not your doctor, on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in 2010, and this is very bad because 2010 is the latest year for which figures are available. That should be embarrassing in this age of computers and instant information, but 2010. So 573,855 people in the United States died of cancer in 2010. Sounds like a big number, but wait. The total number living with cancer is 13 million and some change. That's a death rate of 4.4% per year for cancer patients.
Now, those people that are living with cancer, they've been diagnosed and are receiving treatment or have been diagnosed and are doing their own thing.
They don't separate those numbers out. This is another problem. You can't get these cancer sites to separate out anything. In fact, if I say I want to know how many people died in 2012, I'm only going to get a projection of what they expect. I'm like, no, guys. I want reality. Like, what the heck happened? And so the cancer site gives you predictions. And so to actually get a real number is, you know, it takes about, you know, an hour or two of research just to get a friggin' number.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've done then is I've had to go all the way back to 2010, which is the most recent year for which numbers are available. In some cases, I've had to use a 29 number.
Hmm.
So are they hiding something or what?
Yes, I would. That would suggest that they're hiding something.
Yeah. So death rate is 4.4%. You've got to remember that. We're going to come back to that. Now, at 75 years of age, the average death rate from all causes in the United States is 4.9%. You see where this is going. In other words, at age 75, just from standing up, breathing, walking across the street, cancer is less deadly than not having cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why screening is recommended to stop at age 75. But the marketing has been so phenomenal that 75-year-olds are like, I want to be screened. Oh, my God. My mother is 81 years old, going to be 82, and she said, well, I wonder if I should get a colonoscopy. I said, Mother, please. Get a grip, lady.
Well, I know people who are in their 90s who get breast screening at mammograms. It's ridiculous. All righty, we do have a 3-minute break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack, for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
Having problems with your mortgage? Have you heard of all the mortgage fraud? Could you be a victim? WhatLiesInYourDebt.com can help you turn harassing phone calls and letters into cold, hard cash. Discover how people just like you are making thousands of dollars holding debt collectors accountable for their misdeeds. Don't wait. Empower yourself today. Go to WhatLiesInYourDebt.com. We promise it pays to know. That's WhatLiesInYourDebt.com to find your solution. Having problems with your mortgage? Have you heard of all the mortgage fraud? Could you be a victim? WhatLiesInYourDebt.com can help you turn harassing phone calls and letters into cold, hard cash. Discover how people just like you are making thousands of dollars holding debt collectors accountable for their misdeeds. Don't wait. Empower yourself today. Go to WhatLiesInYourDebt.com. We promise it pays to know. That's WhatLiesInYourDebt.com to find your solution.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Dr. Jennifer Daniels. Her website is vitalitycapsules.com. You can also get to the same site by typing in drjenniferdaniels.com, and she is the author of Do You Have the Guts to Be Beautiful? And she's talking about the immune system here, but that's a very catchy title.
Yeah. Now, the question is cancer before the age of 75 predictive of a shorter lifespan? So we're going to kind of get at this in increments or in degrees. So the average age of diagnosis of cancer, by the way, is 66 years of age. This is for all cancers. Some of these cancers we're going to talk about might be a little lower. But for all cancers, on average, are diagnosed at the age of 66. And death rate from all causes at the age of 66 is 1.9% per year. Obviously, it goes up, but 1.9% per year is, what is it, 66 years. Now, the chances of dying from your cancer, on average, is about 2.5% per year. And so 1.9, 2.5, you could split hairs, that's right. So it's really a 0.06 chance of excess death per year from cancer.
Pardon? So, go ahead.
0.06, so it's not a very big incremental death risk from having cancer.
No, right. Unless you get treated, right?
I'm not even going to impugn treatment. We're going to take a look at the big picture today, and it's going to take us some very interesting places. Let's take a look at prostate cancer. Prostate cancer has a 10-year survival rate of 93%. So the average age of diagnosis for prostate cancer is 66 years of age. And so 10 years puts the person at 76 years of age. So 76 years of age, the person, only 7% of people will have died between 66 and 76. That's a death rate per year from prostate cancer of less than 1%. So literally, the death rate from prostate cancer is less than the death rate from being alive in the average population. So prostate cancer is seriously a protective thing. Definitely don't want to treat that. Just in case you were thinking of treating it, they've actually done a few studies. In one study, they look at the 10-year disease specific survival rate for prostate cancer. They got 86%. But the interval range was between 86.8 and 92.9, which is the same as 93%. However, it was equally high in a subgroup of patients who met criteria for radical prostatectomy and refused it. So in other words, refusing therapy for prostate cancer or accepting therapy for prostate cancer leaves you in the same with the same survival. So a healthy 66-year-old male, in 10 years, we can expect 20% of them will be dead. As they say in all those high-pressure sales things, but wait. The prostate cancer patients outlive the general population with or without therapy.
Well, that's certainly interesting.
And this is from the cancer.org cancer prostate cancer site. And these are the people who are telling you, for God's sakes, get treated. Now, they go on. Go ahead.
And, of course, that's what all doctors want people to do, and they frighten them and make them think that this is very urgent, that they don't have any time to think about it and to sit back and take some time, because there is time to think about these things. And yet doctors are just really into rushing the patients into therapy.
That is true of many doctors. However, there is now a grassroots doctor revolt against prostate cancer. Doctors, the problem with doctors is they're obligated to follow the standard of care. So if they don't offer a man prostate screening, they don't offer him biopsies, they don't offer him all this stuff, then they are negligent and their license can be removed or they can be sued. So what doctors are fighting for is a change in these guidelines, actually. Because many doctors don't enjoy mutilating people, but they don't understand the masters that they work for. And so that's another, you know, another discussion. But not all doctors are totally gung-ho with this. A lot of doctors are very upset about this. And the thing is, doctors are told exactly what to say to the patient. You have an XYZ chance of this. This is your only hope. The recommended therapy is. These are all stock phrases written by Madison Avenue advertising agencies. And doctors are instructed in medical school, this is what you say to the patient. And the thing is, once you say these words, once they leave your mouth, it's almost as if the patient has a programmed button on their backside that goes, and all rationality goes out the window. And so you can say to a patient, you have prostate cancer. And then everything else you say, like you don't have to treat this, it's not necessary to treat it, you'll live longer with it, congratulations on your cancer, he doesn't even hear that. All he hears is, there's been new research, let me go search for the cure. I talked to a guy, I went to a real estate conference, I talked to this guy, thank God he was doing real estate and making a lot of money, but they told him he had prostate cancer. He got on a plane and he flew to some place in Germany and got some incredible heat therapy. They stuck these heat rods into his prostate. And he was so happy he escaped the mutilating therapy of, you know, prostatectomy and radioactive beads.
Wow. I want to hear the rest of this. We'll take it up on the other side of the hour. Be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of a pompous and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley. An area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
For many years, coffee lovers have learned that for the freshest coffee, you need to roast your own beans. Unfortunately, that usually meant paying more per pound for coffee than you could get it at the local grocery. Those wanting to store rich coffee for long-term use have been frustrated with the lack of quality coffee available with a long shelf life. So we usually settle for brand name coffee, either ground or instant. But now we have another solution. Canned green coffee beans. Green coffee beans have not been roasted. And since the bean is not cracked yet, the shelf life is many years longer than roasted or ground coffee. Due to the way it's packed, you can expect these to stay fresh for 20-plus years. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order your canned green coffee beans. A single can is only $11.94. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. CampingSurvival.com. Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, superfam and super male plex, colon enhancer, our top selling liquid, cow mag vitamin D, MSM sulfur capsules, and elderberry power capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Dr. Jennifer Daniels. She is the author of Do You Have the Guts to Be Beautiful? Her website is vitalitycapsules.com, and be sure and listen to her program tonight on blakeradio.com. Is that the right, blakeradio.com?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, and that's at 6 p.m. Eastern Time.
Yep.
Okay, tell us about the man that went to Germany.
So he flew all the way to Germany, and he got this incredible therapy done, and I came back to the States, and he was very relieved that he only had to spend $16,000 instead of the $55,000 that the medical system in the United States required. And of course, he felt perfectly fine. I should have told him that. Because, of course, he wasn't sick in the first place. So this is the actual scandal behind the whole cancer thing, is that people who do not have a condition that would shorten their life are being told that they do and are being subjected to very expensive and uncomfortable interventions. And so this is the crux of it. So it's not... will this therapy work? That's not the question. The question is, well, do I need the therapy at all?
Right. And, of course, in the testing, such as a mammography, there are a lot of false positives, right?
Well, it's designed to have false positives. The whole design of the screening process is designed to create false positives. What many people fail to grasp is that a screening program is nothing more than a marketing program. It's simply a lead generation, if you will. mm-hmm. Thing. So, and this can't, this site, by the way, is the pro-cancer therapy site, and they say according to the most recent data, when including all men with prostate cancer, that means treated and untreated, the relative five-year survival rate is 100%. What does that mean? That means they died of something during those 5 years, but it wasn't prostate cancer. So you have a 100% chance of living 5 years if you have prostate cancer. So from the date of diagnosis of prostate cancer, your chances of a cure living 5 years, if you do nothing, is 100%.
Wow.
And then 10 years, in case you want to live 10 years and do nothing, there's 2% death rate over a 10-year period with prostate cancer. Same 10-year period, there's a 20% death rate in people who don't have prostate cancer. And in case you want to push it to the limit, go to 15-year. The 15-year relative survival rate for people with prostate cancer is 93%. That means you take a 66-year-old man, he has a 93% chance of living to the age of 81 if he has prostate cancer. If he's waiting for prostate cancer to kill him, he's going to make it all the way to 81 years old, which for a man in the United States, that's pretty good living.
Right.
Yeah. So it's really, really important that people understand this. But if you have prostate cancer, you do not need, what you do need is the courage to go out and enjoy your life. I mean, that's what you need. And whether it's a self-help book, an inspiring lecture, or whatever, but you definitely don't need intervention of any kind. You've already stumbled upon the path of near immortality. You're simply living longer than your non-cancerous counterparts.
Right. Now, they've been using the same exact cancer treatments for, what, 100 years? And only about 3% of the patients recover? In other words, there's a 97% failure rate. Isn't that correct?
It depends on how you count. And counting is everything. It's like I don't care who votes as long as I get to count them. So
right.
The cancer
mm-hmm.
industry is doing the counting. And what appears to be happening is these screening programs are extremely effective in snaring people who don't have cancer, getting them labeled with cancer. And so, of course, you have this same totally ineffective therapy, and it appears you actually have a 90% cure rate. Why? Because 90% of the folks didn't have cancer in the first place. So the question that you have asked cannot be answered because it's like mixing cold water and hot water, and what you get is warm water. And so you have to ask yourself, which water molecule is already hot anyway? Well, it's tough to tell. You mix them all up together.
Sure.
So that question you just asked can't be answered because we haven't answered the first question, which is, who truly has a life-shortening condition?
Right.
So let's take a look at colon cancer. Colon cancer is interesting. For colon cancer, the statistics are actually more obscure than for prostate. I don't know why. I mean, the case for prostate cancer is so embarrassing, you'd think you'd hide those numbers, but they didn't. There's 1 million people in the United States living with colon cancer. That means they're alive and they have colon cancer. Or they've survived it, however. But the annual deaths from colon cancer is 49,920 people. This means the 5% per year death rate. The median age at diagnosis is 69. That's a pretty late age of diagnosis, 69. But a 5% death rate, you know, I mean, that's phenomenal.
Right.
And at 69, getting to 70, the baseline death rate for the population is about it's around 4.4. And so a 4.4% death rate compared to a 5% death rate, it's not that big. I mean, you're just shaving hairs here.
Right.
The median age of death for people with colon cancer is 74. Now, the life expectancy in the United States is 79. I could not find the death at which half of all Americans are dead. I suspect it's pretty close to 74. So in other words, these people with colon cancer who are submitting to therapy, their death profile is not a lot different from had they, you know, just stayed at home and watched the ball game, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have had a couple of friends who died of colon cancer within a year of having a diagnosis. But they all opted for very aggressive allopathic treatment, which I think probably rushed their deaths.
That's an interesting concept. I think it helps understand what allopathic terminology means. Aggressive means that this therapy is so friggin' deadly that it'll sure as heck kill the cancer and may kill you too. That's what the word aggressive means.
Mm-hmm.
So when a doctor says, I'm going to start aggressive therapy, that means he's using deadly therapy. That means that the therapy itself carries a very high death rate. And so the patient doesn't understand that. The patient doesn't understand that that's the meaning. But the doctor understands that that's the meaning. He understands. He knows that. But what he's saying to the patient is, your chance of death from the cancer is so high that it makes sense to use this therapy which has its own inherent death rate. So if your chance of dying is 70%, what's adding another 20% to it? That's the real conversation that's going on there. Most people aren't aware that that's what the doctor just told them.
Right.
That's like saying, oh, you're so ugly, let me just throw acid in your face, it won't matter.
Gosh, that's quite an analogy.
It's like, what?
Right.
I think I'll keep my ugly face, thank you. So that's the colon cancer story. Now let's take a look at the breast cancer story. That's the breast cancer story. We actually have global statistics. Thank God the World Health Organizations are watching, so they have some news for us. But let's talk about breast cancer. Breast cancer, I think, is very interesting. Again, global statistics here. When I say global, I mean we're counting everybody in the United States, not across the world. It's the United States. So there are 1.6 million women living with breast cancer in the United States, and 40,000 of them die each year. That's a 1.3% death rate per year. Not very deadly, is it? But let's take a look at this.
No, not
at all. Look a little closer. The average age of diagnosis is 60 years of age. So let's go back to our life and death tables here. And so a 60-year-old woman has an expected death rate of about 1%. So in other words, your chances of dying once you've been diagnosed with breast cancer increased by 0.3% per year. That means if you line up 1,000 ladies, three of them are gonna die of breast cancer that year. Because they were diagnosed. 1,000 ladies, all positive for breast cancer, right? So that's pretty shocking. Now, not exactly a medical emergency. This is a far cry from the imaginary rate of 35% or even higher that's often quoted. Now, if you are diagnosed with breast cancer, you have 35% chance of dying of breast cancer. That is your lifetime risk over the next 30 years you can expect to live. Now, the other thing, that 35%, is you need to understand that includes the death due to chemotherapy.
Right.
Because even the people treating breast cancer, they're not going to lie to you. Yep, there's a death rate from chemotherapy. I mean, if you ask, they will tell you.
And radiation? How about radiation?
Oh, I'm throwing them all together. Chemotherapy,
okay.
Radiation, and cancer. I mean,
okay.
Surgery. So all three therapies for breast cancer, even a lumpectomy. Because a lumpectomy, you could get an infection and die of that. So whatever intervention you decide to accept for your breast cancer, your chances of dying of breast cancer are 35%. And they don't, the death from chemotherapy is not a cause of death. It's not listed that way. So if you die from chemotherapy, they're going to attribute that to your breast cancer, or they're going to attribute it to another organ system, like a heart attack, for example.
Right.
So to make things very simple, there's a 5-year survival, actually to make it more complicated, the 5-year survival for local disease is 99%. So if you are a woman and you have breast cancer and you have local disease, that means it hasn't spread beyond the breast, your 5-year survival rate is expected to be 99% for 5 years. Yeah. Not very deadly, is it?
No.
Now
does medical intervention sometimes make that cancer spread from the breast to other organs?
Does
it provoke the cancer to spread to other organs?
The only therapy that seems to do that is the needle biopsy. There is a belief that the needle biopsy tracks, you know, you go in, you take the sample of the cancer cell, and the cancer is tracked through the needle as you pull the needle out. And so, and the capsule itself is broken, and then cells can spread out beyond that capsule. But to take a look at the 5-year survival for local disease of 99%, that means 1% spread over 5 years. It means a 0.2%, which is a pretty small, you know, death rate. But what they don't tell you, and these are disease-specific death rates. What does that mean? That means in the 5 years, women did die. Because at 66 years of age, or 60 years of age, 1% of people are going to die every year from something or another, right? And so they say, we're not counting those ways. We're only counting the deaths in the 5-year period that were attributable to breast cancer, which gives them the freedom to say if someone dies and they have breast cancer and they die of, say, a hospital-acquired MRSA, you can list MRSA as the cause of death and not the breast cancer, for example. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of fudging in this 99% figure. But then if you have regional spread of the disease, so the spread is now from the breast to the regional lymph nodes, you have 84% survival over 5 years. Again, 5 years, 14% or 15%, sorry, 16% death rate, that's 3% per year. And so you can definitely, looking at this, say it makes no sense whatever for any woman to accept therapy of any kind for local disease. Because she has a 99% chance of living 5 years. Well, what else, what more can you ask for?
Right.
Because your all-cause mortality in 5 years is going to be 5%. So if you have breast cancer, it's going to be 1%. Well, what the heck? Go with the breast cancer.
Right.
And so then you have, what were you saying? Yeah, then you have a metastatic death rate. So if you have mets, your chances of living are going to be 23% in 5 years. So if it's a spread to your body. So this means that treatment for anything less than regional disease makes no sense. You could even argue that only treatment for metastatic disease makes sense, and then only the treatment could cure 75% with a money-back guarantee. Because remember, 23% would be cured even without therapy. So 23% of these ladies are going to live if you do nothing. So even if survival increased to 100%, only 77% of those survivals could be attributed to chemotherapy or any medical intervention.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they should start giving a money-back guarantee for cancer therapy.
Well, that sounds reasonable. And, of course, you by not doing anything, I mean, there are other things that one can do to enhance their immune system. And, you know, there are black salves and all kinds of things that people can do that are relatively inexpensive. Well, cheap, just cheap. And yet people opt for this expensive treatment that that does more harm than good.
When you say more harm than good, you're assuming it does some good. So I'm suggesting there's no evidence it does any good.
Okay.
That's my suggestion, my position. So when you say more harm than good, someone thinks they're weighing something. They think it's a scale.
Oh.
They think it's a balance.
Right.
I mean, this is my personal opinion. There is no balance. And
right.
When you mention those other alternative therapies like black salve or dietary or lifestyle, whatever, the medical industry or these sources I've consulted, they equate that with doing nothing.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's equated with doing nothing. So you can see here that doing nothing is pretty darn good for 5 years after you're diagnosed with breast cancer. So
right.
If you're one of these eclectic kind of people, you might want to do nothing, which would be alternative therapies, for the first 5 years, and get serious if it seems like things have progressed.
Right.
Now.
Hmm. Okay, and because the statistics are skewed, then people think, oh, this treatment, this radiation, it worked. The chemotherapy worked. I was talking to a gentleman last week who had cancer 12 years ago, and he went for a very, he did the chemotherapy and all of that. And he said, if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't even be alive. And I tried to argue with him, but he was just very stubborn.
No, that's not it. The arguing is not. It's nothing to do with it. In other words, that's where he has put his belief and his faith.
Right.
That's like
right.
the argument with you about whether Jesus exists or not. Either you believe or you don't. And so with cancer therapy, I think it's important to understand that what we have going here is a belief system, not a disease system.
Okay.
What we have here going is a religion. And so to criticize somebody's religion, I think, is really silly, because everyone gets to choose their religion, right?
Right.
Yeah.
All righty. We are going to a quick three-minute break, and the people in the chat room want to know what your opinion is of Angelina Jolie and her double mastectomy. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and, in some instances, your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Dr. Jennifer Daniels, and she is the author of Do You Have the Guts to Be Beautiful? Her websites are vitalitycapsules.com and drjenniferdaniels.com, and I asked just before the break your opinion of the Angelina Jolie media campaign, or whatever it was.
A whole series of comic strips on Angelina Jolie.
your comic strips are really funny.
I know. Thank you so much. And are you going to indulge me? Let me share a few of them.
Please.
Okay. This is Angelina Jolie. I've taken her name out of all the other ones because it's really not about Angelina Jolie. So news person interviewing Angelina Jolie about her breast cancer, her breast situation. And the title is Angelina Jolie Speaks Out. And the news person says, why did you have a double mastectomy? Well, as you know, I am an Oscar-winning actress. I could not pass up this role. It is a great character. Victim. When the doctor described the plot, you know, defends heroin, defeats cancer by submitting to preemptive mutilation while elegantly living a lifestyle with plastic, even more perfect boobs, I read my lines and it really resonated with me. And so the reporter says, well, do you have any more mutilating surgery planned? And Angelina Jolie says, yes, I am considering having my left hand amputated to prevent kleptomania. I have received the full script.
I have to
read the full script before deciding. I need to not laugh at my jokes.
Oh, my word. Oh.
All right, so the rest don't even have Angelina's name in them because they're actually much more effective jokes without her name. So here's two more for you. This one lady says, these two ladies talking, they're good friends. I want to get my breast removed just like the movie stars. The second one says, yeah, that's cool. I want to get my tonsils, gallbladder, and appendix out, too. You know, just in case. Can't be too careful.
We shouldn't be laughing over something so serious, but
yes,
honestly.
You have to laugh, because if you don't laugh, then you're going to go straight to the meat grinder. And if you laugh, you're going to, laughter heals, you know.
It does.
Another one. I talked to my mother about Angelina Jolie, and I've tried to explain to her. You know, I'm not saying anything negative about Angelina Jolie. Everyone makes their decisions, and that's fine. I totally respect that. I tried to explain to Mom that this might be some kind of marketing ploy. There might be more here than meets the eye. And my mother got so mad at me. And you know what she said to me? Well, you know, these medical things are very important, and, you know, I think the real issue here is Angelina is rich, and she can afford to get her breast taken off. You know, a lot of women can't afford that. And so that inspired this joke. You might not think it's funny, but I thought it was. So here you go.
I think it is funny. Oh, bless your mother.
No, that's what Mom said, but this is a joke I wrote about what she said. So I said, movie stars, these are two ladies, young girls, they're like in their 20s.
We have to hold this one over until the station ID, and we'll be right back.